Okay. Marisa, will you tell us how you are doing this week?
This week has actually been, it's been powerful for me. After our discussion last week and we were talking about how, you know, losing my voice could be a representation of me not saying some things that need to be said, I gave that a lot of thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe it was, I really believe that I had the wrong voice talking. Because I had a conversation to end all conversations, except for I didn't talk. I actually listened, and I realized the power of listening, and that I haven't been a very good listener.
Wow.
I've had people telling me, giving me all kinds of information, but I've had my own ideas about my own rightness that I didn't realize I was still holding. And because I wasn't hearing what was being said. And it was like an epiphany. It was like all of a sudden I heard everything that I was being told, and it made sense. And I don't know if it's that the person that was talking to me said it differently or whether it was my spirit connected with his and we got it together. But truly, I learned that I wasn't being a very good listener, and I was still very much, things that I was saying that he was doing were actually my projections, and I saw it. I realized it.
Yeah.
And I've never had that before.
Wow. That sounds like an amazing growth spurt. It sounds, you know, and it feels like you got it. It feels like
I certainly felt like it, and I'm walking away with the idea that I can do better. I can do better than I have, and I know. And not only that, but even with the whole job thing, I was so caught up in the idea of a title and being impressive on the surface. Because I still had so much, all of this came out this week, but I still had so much guilt about being a teen parent that I felt like I needed to prove myself as something other than that. Mm-hmm. When that's exactly what I was, and that's not who I am currently, and none of that even matters, and I get that now.
Yeah, that story is over.
Man, it was a powerful week.
Wow, fantastic. I really feel you, and congratulations. Congratulations. Someone else has signed on with us. Who else is on the call with us?
Graciela, good morning. Oh.
Graciela and who else?
Ananda.
Oh, hi, Ananda. Okay, welcome, ladies. Always happy to hear you. Is there anybody else on the call? No, okay. Fantastic. Why don't we have Graciela tell us how your week is going?
All right. Well, it's been a few weeks, let's say 3 weeks, of a lot of learning about myself, and specifically with, you know, my daughter. And it's been really magical. Like, I don't think the universe could have put it in another more perfect way. So just a little example, like, she went to spend a couple of days with my sister just because, I mean, I can predict maybe she needs a break from her brothers and her parents.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't take it like, oh my God, what's wrong? Or, you know, I took it like, okay, yeah, go hang out with, she calls her Nina, and I didn't question it. I didn't try to make a big deal about it. And other little things that have happened at school, like, she asked to speak to a counselor at school, and I was like, wow, you're seeking your own help. I was so proud of her, and I didn't even, again, make the big old drama, and I'm, oh my God, are you okay? Or, you know, I'm like, okay, yeah. Let me send this email out. And just really, really taking it for what it is and not attaching a story other than what she's telling me.
Can you recognize or see in yourself any similar awakenings that your daughter might be giving embodiment to? So as you are developing in yourself, can you see those things being reflected and acted out in your daughter?
Yes, yes, totally. Okay. I told her, be patient with me because I'm learning how to be a parent. You're my oldest, and I don't know what the teenage years, you know. So instead of me, I guess the way I was raised, it's like, why did you do that? It's all, I can't believe it. What are people going to say? And I'm putting it back on me and say, oh, I understand, but whoa there. You know, give me a second to take all this in. And as a parent. But yes, the awakenings are happening simultaneously and in both of us.
Fantastic. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Really happy.
And before I forget, you know, I don't know if you ladies were on the call, when y'all got on the call, but Sandy, would you do a favor for me and just tell again about your shirts and the program? I want to do it before I forget, because I wasn't recording the call, and I just want to be able to let everybody know what you've got going on and, you know, give people the opportunity to participate with that, because I know that breast cancer is a big deal for many people, and they might want to, you know, I want to be able to give them the opportunity to support that. So please, Sandy, would you hop on if you're not in the bathroom? Sorry, just had to throw that in there from last week.
Very,
please.
Very nice. Thank you. one of my staff members on the board of, it's called G.I. Jane the Base, and I designed a shirt, and it's to stomp out cancer, and she just Facebooked me so I can Facebook people. The Facebook site or website is G.I. Jane 2 Base, T.O. Base, and we have form-fitting camouflage shirts, pink shirts, all kinds of shirts, and it says, I support fighting the war to stomp out breast cancer. I think that's the one. No, it says, I support ending the war on breast cancer. They changed the wording. So anyways, if you all could support and get a shirt, the money's going to help men and women in the military that have breast cancer. And we don't stop there, because one of the things for me to be on the board, I told them that in the military we have a saying that leave no soldier behind. And so I wanted to carry that forth into the world. And I don't care who has cancer. If there's a way we can help, we're going to help. So we got our shirts and we're moving forward. They're really cool. So check out the site and order a shirt. Thanks.
Awesome. I'm really happy that you were able to see this through, Sandy. Again, I just feel very inspired by that. We need to have our win sometimes, you know? It's one thing to, you know, to be spiritual, but it's also another thing to be able to, you know, see our dreams and our great work materialize. So I'm really happy for you, and excited.
Yeah,
so
it's pretty cool. So everything's right on, man.
Excellent. Thank you, Sandy. And Ananda, how is your week?
It's been really busy. Actually, the last few weeks have just been increasingly.
You know, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Would you speak a little louder or more into your mic, please? It sounds real muffled and quiet.
I'm wondering why. I haven't done anything different. A lot of times I don't get reception inside the house. So actually, I've been really lucky all these weeks that I've even been able to participate. Can you hear me now?
Yes, it's better now.
Yeah, it's with work and also family life. Seems to be kind of all coming, like,
increasingly busy, and then it's getting more and more emotional, and a lot of changes going on in both areas. So I'm just trying to kind of keep breathing and just trying to stay centered through it and not let it overwhelm me and not let it get me down. So I'm just kind of in a that kind of stage right now.
Amanda, I can hear it in your voice because your voice is not projecting, you know?
Yeah.
I can feel it. I don't know if anybody else is able to hear it, but you sound a little sad. I hear you, though, knowing that you are not these things. I hear your, you know, I hear you expressing the your faith, you know. I hear you expressing the fruit of your of who you really are. But I also hear some sadness. I just want to say I understand, and you know, I'm holding space with you for you to recognize the gift that ego mind and ego creations are bringing to you, these opportunities to be who you are in the face of adversity, you know, because that's all it is. You are that beam of light, that extension of God's perfection. You are that light, and you've come into this world with a set of circumstances that you are working through and, you know, maintaining the essence of who you are. That's what I'm experiencing right now. And I also, having gone through it myself, understand that, you know, there are times when the ego comes up and presents its issues, and it, you know, we have to deal with them on the ego level. You know, we have to deal with them in the collective consciousness. We have to, you know, pay the tax bill. You know, we can't just sit here and be in light and not send in the tax forms, you know. We have to deal with the injury and all the other stuff. You know, we don't want to just pull away and act like it doesn't exist, even though we could do that, but that's not how we're going to work it. So, you know, I extend to you my loving support, both in light, in spirit, and also in ego form. If you need somebody to talk to, call me. You want to communicate by email, then, you know, send me an email and just, you know, chat it out. If I have access to some resource that you need, I'd love to offer it to you. This goes for everybody, you know, in our group. This goes for everybody in the world. You know,
I really appreciate it. I was looking forward to today. Like, I was every day of the week, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to keep focusing on ASIM and the different little, like, clips, like Marianne Williamson and the different things that you posted all week. And I just, and Muji and Abraham, and just every second that I didn't have to deal with all that other stuff, I just focused on that.
Yes.
And that's kind of what kept me going. And I knew that when I reached today that you guys would.
Yeah. We're happy to be here for you. We're happy to,
you know,
we're here for one another, you know? Oh, isn't it funny to see our different dynamics at play? Before I got on this call, I was bawling, to the point where I was heaving. And the moment before I started bawling, I was sensing my heart fluttering with this tremendous joy. And honestly, my friends, I had a spiritual orgasm. I don't like to use the word orgasm because, you know, we've perverted the use of the word so much in the secular world. I could say that I had an experience of ecstasy, but that also has been perverted in the spiritual world. So none of those words are really appropriate anymore for what I experienced. But what I experienced was a tremendous, I mean, this whole week has been about receiving the understanding of who we are. And I'm going to just say, I totally get it. I get who God is. I get who I am. And I get how life works. Now, it doesn't mean that I have mastered being with people and I have mastered my checkbook. It doesn't mean that. What it does mean is that I understand what it feels like to be fully present in the moment and fully surrendered to the moment. I posted a video yesterday or the day before. I think it was the day before, or it could have been yesterday. And it was just about feeling, you know, like I can finally surrender to love. I get it. And that's what I'm experiencing right now. So, you know how I've gained 15 pounds in the last 3 months or so, whatever it's been. And there have been times, most of the time I accept it, like, okay, you know, whatever. You know, I've always been aware that it serves me in some way. And there were times when I understood how the weight gain served me, and other times when I didn't know, but I always knew because I've learned that everything serves me. Everything serves me. Even the cockroach, you know, in the bathtub serves me. So there's not a cockroach in the bathtub, by the way, not right now, but there have been. So I'm looking at the weight gain and I'm watching myself eat, and the eating has turned into a self-mutilating process is what it became. The eating became a self-mutilating process where I was shoving food down my mouth. Not only that, I shoved so much food into my mouth and down my stomach that I felt like I was going to literally hurt myself physically. Like my stomach, like I thought I was getting ready to suffer a hernia of some sort. And I needed that so that I could finally listen. I needed to experience something that felt like pain so much so that I could finally hear what Spirit was trying to say. Spirit was saying, you need to be full on love. Let love fill you up. Ego was interpreting that as, I need to fill up. I need to fill up. I need to fill up. So ego filled me up. And it filled me up. Thank God it started filling me up with things like vegetables and, you know, brown rice or, you know, things that were actually healthy so that I wasn't actually physically suffering a heart attack. You know, no butter, but olive oil, you know, making the wise, healthy choices to fill me up. Let me tell you something. You can still gain 15 pounds eating vegetables and things that are healthy. Let me tell you, anything that is good for you becomes not good for you when you consume it to mutilate yourself, to harm yourself. So finally, ego did its job. Again, I feel like ego didn't, I needed ego. I needed ego to help me understand what was going on with myself. So it showed me, and I woke up the other day thinking, okay, I need to fill myself up with love. I need to fill myself up with love. How do I do that, though? I have no idea of how to do that. Well, on, you know, I do my morning YouTube videos, and literally 30 minutes before I turned this on, Lilu Mace uploaded a video of an interview that she did with a man called Kirby de La Norel. I might have his name wrong. I'll look it up to make sure I get it right. Anyway, he's a Sri Lankan guy who claims to be a breatharian, meaning he doesn't eat food, he only breathes, and this man lives off of love. So I'm listening to the interview, 20 minutes long, and I'm thinking, do I believe this? And I think, well, fuck yeah, I believe it, you know, because that's what we're supposed to do. Spirit is all about spirit. Spirit doesn't need food. If I identify with the body, then I'm and identify with the ego, then yeah, I need food. So I'm listening to Kirby. And then I said, you know what? Let's not focus on whether Kirby is lying or not. Let's focus on what he's saying. So Kirby goes in and he's talking about how much you need to fill yourself up with love. This is literally, the video was uploaded 30 minutes before I turn it on, you know? And I'm one of the fifth people to see this video. Now, Lilu's videos get 20,000 views on it, you know, on them. So I'm number five, right? Tell me this is not talking to me. So I'm listening to this message, and I'm like, wait a minute. This man is saying, he's telling me what I just learned from Spirit. So Spirit has led me to this thing. And I've got the ability to have someone telling me exactly what I need to hear. So I listen to that video, and then I go and I search Kirby online, and there are not a lot of information about Kirby. There's not a lot out there, although there are some things. Kirby is particularly Christian, which, you know, I'm not totally into Christianity, but I am so hungry, and that's just what he's talking about. I'm so hungry to be really fulfilled in a real way that I don't care. I'm going to sit through a church sermon that where Kirby is giving out a church sermon. So Kirby gives a three-hour church sermon, and I am there caught up in every single word. And one of the things that Kirby says, he says, I'm real. And the way you know when someone is real is because we cannot help but share who we are. So I can prove to you that I'm real, because when you listen to my message, you're going to lose your appetite for food, and it's going to be replaced with an appetite for spirit. You're going to be so desirous of love and so filled with love because I am so desirous of love and so fulfilled with love. You will not need food. Watch. So I'm like, okay. Sure enough, hours later, I'm like, oh, shit, I haven't eaten anything. Sure enough, I get up the next day, and I'm like, okay, I really don't feel like eating, but I'm going to go eat something anyway. I ate half the amount of food I normally eat, and I'm like, okay, well, why? What am I going to do now? Well, I'm going to go do what Kirby said he does. I'm going to go and sit, and I'm going to fill myself up with love. I spent about, 5 hours in meditation yesterday? I got up this morning, and I sat there in meditation for another 3 hours. I had to get out of meditation to go answer a phone call, and I'm like, darn it, how can I carry this feeling of meditation into my phone call? I got on the phone call. I could barely listen to what the person was saying because I was so caught up in the love I felt that when I was connected to myself. And so that phone call helped me see, okay, look, I have to learn how to extend outward. This love comes down from above. I have to learn, or rather remember, how to extend it outward so that I can listen, like Marisha just said, and, you know, be in love while I'm receiving and be in love while I'm giving. And so I had my phone call, and I said to the person, okay, listen, I'm not quite ready for this. because the urge I had was, if I can't really give love, I don't feel authentic, so I'm going to do what I feel. And what I feel right now is to go in there and be quiet and ask Spirit how to be with people, how to listen, and how to just, you know, love people without having to be in a trance. And that's what I did. I went and I sat for another 10, 15 minutes, and then I said, okay, I need to read A Course in Miracles. Right, getting ready for the call. I sit down to read A Course in Miracles. I go back to the chapter that I have, and my chapter is all about being full of love. And I'm like, what the fuck? How could I miss this? You know, thank you for sending me here. So that's when I entered that state of being so full of light that I couldn't help it. I started having what ego wanted to say was a panic attack. So I start going into this panic. And it's not really a panic, but what was happening was my heart was so full. There was so much light coming in. Ego was really trying to categorize it. Like, what's that thought? What's that thought? What does this mean? What's happening? Oh, what's this? What's that? How come I feel this way? And what I did was I said, let's just allow it. And I let the feelings come. And I said, okay, I went beyond ego to my heart. I went into my heart and I said, let me read you, not from ego, but from where you are. And all I could feel was love and joy. And my God, I just started bawling and wailing as if I was, you know, as if I were, I don't know. All I knew, it was fucking orgasmic. All I knew was that everything I looked at, I fully understood. All I knew was that everything that came into me was real. And it wasn't painful. It was just full. That was my week. Of course, this also, and I laughed because I had the image of me falling down the stairs yesterday. I mean, or a couple of days ago. I think I might have been on Monday or Tuesday. I don't know when it was. I was out. I finally go out of my house. I go for a walk on Mont Royal. I walk up to the top. I walk back down. And I'm doing okay. And then I get to some stairs. I fell and slipped on the stairs. Boom, land flat on my back, crack my head. I have a concussion. But I don't particularly worry about that. It happens. But I'm pissed. I go through my ego drama. I come home. I do my thing. I'm like, wait, sit, be quiet. Boom. Quiet. Stillness. I trust this. I have no choice but to trust it. I've put my hands put myself into the hands of God. I don't have a choice but to trust this process. And that's where I am. Next day I have some pain, you know. Next day I have some pain. I'm really sore. My head hurts. My body hurts. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, I surrender to God. You know, this is all I got. Then Kirby comes along, and then here I am today. Okay, that was a long exposition. I would apologize, but that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to say, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. If anybody wants to chime in, I'm going to take a breather. I'm going to take a breath. And please, if you've got anything to say, go ahead. All right, so I think we can go ahead and get started with studying or with talking about our chapter, the last half of chapter 5. We're starting with chapter 5, section 6. No, yeah, that's a 6. V1 is a 6. We're going to start off with Sandy, but actually before we do that, can I just take a quick break and run to the bathroom?
Go for it.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry.
No, you can't go, because then we have something to make fun about, like you did me.
This would be one in a long list of many things. To make fun of with me. Please enjoy yourselves while I while I venture to the potty. Thank you.
So, Cindy, can you post that T-shirt website on the community blog?
Oh, yeah. I'll have to figure out how to do that. I'm not good with that stuff yet. I have it on my Facebook. So how would I do it on the community blog?
I would think you would just type up the URL address.
Okay, I'll do that. Yeah, I put it on my Facebook. So if you guys are on my Facebook, you'll see it. I've got it like a zillion different times going to a zillion different places.
Okay, I don't think we're friends, but we can do that too.
But, yeah, I will put it on the blog. And, Ananda, I send you love and support, and I can really hear it in your voice. Just shake it off. You matter, and today's a new day. We'll never get this day again, so just focus on today and breathe in the life of today.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Did anyone just feel the earthquake?
Did we have another one?
Yes, just about 3 to 4 minutes ago.
Oh, wow. I was probably walking around, so I didn't know. The one yesterday was awesome.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. My whole apartment was moving back and forth. It was really cool.
You know, that's funny because when we had the earthquake here, I live in a mobile home in Emmett, and you guys have seen pictures of my dog, and I'm like, man, London is really making this place shake. He's gained a lot of weight, and he's running with his bone and stuff, and then the cabinet opens, and I'm like, dude, it's an earthquake.
That's so funny. Yeah. And the animals are very sensitive to those.
Not London. He was clueless. He was running around with his bone digging in.
Okay, I'm back. So, yeah, you guys are okay with the earthquake? You guys are making the earthquake over there. It's all you people in A Course in Miracles that are shaking things up.
Oh, is that what we're doing? Well, it was fun.
Ananda is surfing on it. Fantastic. Great. All right, what did I miss? Anything else? Nope, we're ready to get started. Okay, let's have Miss Sandy D. present section 6, please.
Okay, I must be on the wrong planet because that's not what I have. We're on chapter 7, right?
Uh-huh, chapter 7, section 6. I have Sandy written by it.
Oh, okay, let me... Crystal, earlier you were saying chapter 5, so people that hear the recording, are the people that are hearing the recording might get a little confused at first.
Oh, thank you. I didn't mean to say chapter 5. Okay, so sorry. We're in chapter 7, section 6. Sorry about that, Sandy. That's what I meant.
That's okay. I'm like, whatever. Chapter 6. Okay, I didn't do all my fancy writing stuff. I kind of just highlighted what caught my eye in it because my life is just so amazing right now. It's like, can't get everything done. I got to figure out how to do that. So anyways, from vigilance to peace, what popped out on one was fear and love makes or creates, depending on whether the ego or the Holy Spirit begets or inspires them. But they will return to the mind of the thinker, and they will affect his total perception. He will appreciate all of them if he regards them with love. And it goes with everything we're learning. It's like, it's all about love is the answer, and chaos just doesn't work. Two, the mind that accepts attack cannot love, does not understand what love is, unreality, and results in utter confusion, power by your thinking as you choose. And I put next to that, I really, God, every day when I get up, I'm really amazed at how our thoughts just run all over the place and not make sense. And it's like, I try to bring the acceptance of love and stay out of the chaos, and really think as each day is a new day, and that even though I don't like it and it fucking pisses me off, is we have a choice on how we feel about things. And I still am trying to grasp the thinking as we choose, because I still think people can drain me, but I know that's not true because they don't stick a knife in my throat and drain me out. So trying to accept the thinking power of choice there. And the other thing is when I split my head open and mess up my glasses, I have glasses that are old, so it's really hard sometimes to see. So I'm dealing with that, so bear with me. On this one I put, the ego attacks what is preserving it, extreme anxiety. It is perfectly logical, but clearly insane. That cracks me up. It's perfectly logical, but clearly insane. What a title for our ego.
Why does it crack you up?
Because it's sometimes I've said through this, some of this stuff sounds like riddle. And for it to be perfectly logical and clearly insane, but clearly insane, they just kind of don't sound like they should go together. But when I read it, it does make sense because that's what the ego does, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah. It uses its own logic to try to confuse and convince us.
Right.
Yeah, it's a trip. It's kind of fun having an ego, though, because it's like, it's entertaining. I don't have to have crazy friends anymore. I just hang out with my ego and I'm entertained.
Exactly. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
It's pretty cool. Let's see. 4. Knowledge is total. The ego does not believe in totality. Totally. Love is your power, which the ego must deny. 6, the Holy Spirit undoes illusions without attacking them. I just have, you know, through all this, it's now I just feel like my Holy Spirit is my mediator, and it's like my translator when I just can't get things between the ego and the spirit. So I kind of really rely on the Holy Spirit now. 7, belief does not require vigilance unless it is conflicted. I had a question mark by that, but I can't remember why, so I'm just going to go on to 8.
I had a highlight at the same place because this thing with vigilance, it starts out with be vigilant for God and the kingdom of heaven, and then it says vigilance has no place in peace. There's a couple of other times through this chapter where vigilance kind of goes back and forth. It's like have vigilance, but then it says don't have vigilance kind of thing. It's a little confusing. I don't know if, Crystal, if you have anything to...
Yeah, let's look at this.
Yeah, that's good because that's what I have. So, yeah, China.
Okay, so go back, Sandy. Start at section 5, okay, because there's a build-up. And let's read together out loud sections 5, 6, and 7. Sandy, why don't you start and read that first paragraph, the fifth paragraph, please.
Oh, you're starting back at 5?
Paragraph 5. The ego, therefore, opposes all appreciation.
Okay, I must have a brain fart. I'm not... Are you on... What?
Sorry, we're in the same section. We're in the same chapter, in the same section. Just go to paragraph 5. You were in paragraph 7. Just go back 2 paragraphs to paragraph 5.
Section 6.
Okay. Thank you. The Holy Spirit does not want you to understand conflict. He wants you to realize that because conflict is meaningless. It is not understood.
Sorry, that's not paragraph 5. That's sentence 5 in section paragraph 6. Go back a little bit more to paragraph 5.
Okay, you know what? I'm not getting it.
Okay, you were reading sentence number 5?
Uh-huh.
That's in paragraph 6. You see the 6 right above that?
Okay, we're in the number 5 and then the small number I need in that section, or we're in section 6 and the small number 5?
Okay, you know the sentence you just read?
Yes.
There's a 5 in front of it, right?
Right.
Okay. Look at that 5 and look 5 lines above that. Just look up 5 lines and you're going to see a 6.
Okay, the Holy Spirit undoes.
Okay, don't read that. Look up 7 lines above that, you're going to see a 5.
The mind can? Or the ego, therefore?
The ego, therefore.
That one.
That's paragraph 5.
Okay.
Yeah, I want you to read paragraph 5.
Oh, Jesus. The ego, man, glasses suck. The ego, therefore, opposes all appreciation, all recognition, all sane perceptions, and all knowledge. It perceives their threats as total because it senses all commitments the mind makes are total. Forced, therefore, to detach itself from you. It is willing to attach itself to anything else, but there is nothing else. The mind can, however, make up an illusion, and if it does, so it will believe in them, because that is how it made them.
So my question for this section for everybody is, what does appreciation mean? Anybody who wants to answer what it means, what appreciation means.
Could it mean gratitude, maybe?
Sure, it means gratitude. What else?
But it's opposing, opposes it, right?
Right, but what does appreciation mean?
Appreciation of God and God's gifts.
Right, and what
thankful.
Does it mean? The thankfulness, right? Gratitude, thankfulness. What else?
The truth.
Sure, it can mean truth. Absolutely. So when you appreciate something, it puts you in order with it.
Right.
If you don't appreciate something, you cannot be of the same order of it because you can't appreciate it. You don't know it. You'd have to be outside of something in order to, if you are outside of something, then you cannot appreciate it. Does that make sense? Yes? Okay. So in this section, it's the ego is being, we're acknowledging its alienation. Sandy, will you read paragraph 6 now, please?
The Holy Spirit undoes illusions without attacking them because he cannot perceive them at all. They therefore do not exist. Sorry, you guys, I lost signal.
That's okay. No problem. Go on, Sandy.
They therefore do not exist for him. he resolves the apparent conflict they engender by perceiving conflict as meaningless. I have said before that the Holy Spirit perceives the conflict exactly as it is, and it is meaningless. The Holy Spirit does not want you to understand conflict. He wants you to realize that because conflict is meaningless. It is not understandable. As I have already said, understanding brings appreciation, and appreciation brings love. Nothing else can be understood because nothing else is real, and therefore nothing else has meaning.
Okay, so in order to be appreciative, in order to appreciate, you have to be on the same level of the thing that you're appreciating. Therefore, you cannot be on another level. Ego is on another level, right? So ego, therefore, cannot appreciate, but you can. So here is your reminder that says you cannot do conflict because you cannot be on that level, right? So the Holy Spirit does not want you to understand conflict, because the moment you understand conflict is the moment you've gone into conflict in order to appreciate it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You've put yourself at the level in order to appreciate conflict, in order to understand conflict. That means you would know conflict. Okay, so if we go into section 7, it says, if you will keep in mind what the Holy Spirit offers you, you cannot be vigilant for anything but God and His kingdom. Vigilant in this case only means keeping your mind on something, being alert to something, right? So if you keep your mind on God and His kingdom, it means that that's all you know. So you cannot know conflict. Does that make sense? The only reason you may find this hard to accept is because you may still think that something else exists. You think that there is conflict to think about. You think that there is, you know, there's problems to think about. You think there is health to think about, but there isn't anything else. So you have to keep your mind on God and the kingdom. Belief does not require vigilance unless it's conflicted. So your belief, your knowledge of the kingdom, you don't have to be vigilant about belief if you keep your mind on the kingdom. Because the kingdom, if you keep your mind on the kingdom, no attack can enter. So you don't have to be vigilant if you actually keep your mind on the kingdom. Belief follows naturally from keeping your mind on the kingdom. That's why you don't need to be vigilant for your belief. So you don't have to watch your mind and manage your ego, because you are in the knowledge of God. So you don't have to worry about what I believe. Is ego over there believing that I'm a failure? You don't have to manage that. Does that make sense?
Yes, but Crystal, then that leads, at least for me, that this is where I am right now, is leading me to a different kind of conflict, which is I know conflict is ego. But if I don't believe that there is any illness, disease, there's no cancer, there's no pain, there's no money, none of these things are real.
Yeah.
To stay just focused on God and the kingdom of heaven, then none of those things are real. So then how do I function? That's where
right.
I am right now. It's causing me a lot of
Ananda, look, here's the thing, okay? And I've been walking it and testing it to see. Number one, my way is not the only way, okay? I'm going to first just tell you how I did it. Number one, I got rid of all that stuff, okay? I got rid of everything. I got rid of my attachment to everything, all right? And then I built from there. Now, if you have a tax person at your door, right, wanting you to pay something, is that a reasonable conflict to, is that kind of the nature of what you're talking about? Ananda?
Well, that's one of many things. Like right now, dealing with work and a lot of family issues. Those are
okay.
ones that are tearing me apart right now.
All right. Do you want to give me an example so that we can use it?
Okay. Well, like with work, from day to day, I never know if I have a job or not. So will I have the money to pay the bills?
Okay.
What do I do about that?
Okay, so there's
and
a
there's
sense
a lot
of
strife at work. So, you know, I'm having to constantly use a lot of energy to just keep very positive, keep putting out fires at work, keep people happy. And, you know, that stuff is, goes on
okay.
all the time.
So if we use the terms here from A Course in Miracles, we would say that your ego has a story that it's created, and you're living in the story right now. You're identifying with the ego, and you're living in that story. And you're like, yeah, I'm a spiritual being, but this is the story that I've come into. I've got to deal with people at work and blah, 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 you know, money and you know, family issues, right? How do I function and focus on the kingdom all the time? All right. Most people are not going to do what I did and walk away from everything. And, right? So, the thing is, Ananda, you've got to know that your spirit is a higher mind. Your higher mind has a different perspective on your situation than you do, okay? If you look at yourself as being in a valley living in the world, you have your perspective down in the valley. You can only see so far in front of you, and you only have so many resources, okay? Your higher mind is sitting up on the mountaintop, looking down on the valley. So the higher mind can see in the future or in front of you, and it can also see on the back of you, and it can see also other people, right? So in order to deal with situations, you can deal with them from the lower mind self, or you can choose to deal with them from the higher mind. The higher mind. Your higher mind has more resources. So you tune into that higher mind every day, which I know you do. You love your meditation. You love your yoga. You love your practice. The problem is how to get the trust in the present moment to know that your higher mind is actually bringing you solutions. How to trust that the higher mind is bringing you solutions, and how to trust that where you are is actually perfect. Does that make sense, Ananda?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you are in the perfect position and you are receiving fully the impulses, the circumstances, the nuances from your higher mind, what is your question really?
That's a good question.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
That's a good question.
So what's happened is your ego has clouded your right thinking. You've gotten too absorbed in your ego story, so you need to come out of it. With your meditation, you've been meditating on ego story as opposed to meditating on who you are and remembering who you are. So who you are, you got to go up there and ask, hey, who am I? First you do that. when you connect with who you are, and you can do this in one meditation. It only takes a few minutes, especially because you're a seasoned meditator. You've just forgotten what meditations to do to help you connect. Once you connect with who you are, you'll know what the solutions are. You'll know how to behave. You'll know what choices to make. You'll have the courage to make them, and all your path will be clear. But you've just forgotten that because you got caught up in ego, and that's what ego does. You weren't vigilant. You weren't focused on the love. You got focused on ego story. You get focused on the love for a few minutes, and then ego comes in and starts telling its story, and then you start following ego. Just like today when I was meditating, you know, ego said, hey, I'm hungry. Let's stop just meditating and go eat. And I'm like, no, actually, I'm not hungry. I'm full. I've been meditating for the last hour and a half. I'm okay. I'm going to go back and sit here and meditate. And meditation went on. And then ego came in and said, hey, you need to go check on your laundry. I said, that laundry can wait. I'm going to come back here. So there's this thing that the ego is trying to negotiate you out of meditation, out of your peace of mind. Ego said, you know what, you should get up and go running right now. You're sitting here meditating. You know how fat you get when you meditate? You just sit. You're just sitting. You haven't exercised in 3 weeks. You're just sitting. And I'm saying, yeah, but actually I'm perfectly peaceful here. I choose to sit here in peace and allow to happen on the physical world whatever's going to happen. Do you see what I mean, Ananda?
Yes.
Is it helpful?
Yes.
Don't be afraid to say no. I'm not going to have my feelings hurt if you say no.
No, it's very helpful. And I try to do that. But people are always coming to me at work and family. They're always... And they come to me and they say, you always know the answer. That's, you know, it's like, why? I ask them, why are you asking me? Can't you solve this problem for yourself? Well, you always know the answer.
Hmm.
And so then I get drawn into, okay, well, let's figure this out together. And so then it gets, you know, more and more drawn into it. And then I feel responsible, like now I'm a part of it, so now I have to continue through it.
That sounds like, and with all due respect, that sounds like a lot of ego going.
Yes, I know that.
Right?
I totally know that. But I have to just figure out how to just not get involved from the beginning and not feel like I'm letting people down.
Okay, and let me just ask you, who needs to figure out anything? Who needs to figure out how to do that? Ego.
Yeah.
Ego needs to figure out stuff because ego won't just sit back and let be. What happened to be still and know that I am? You feel like you have to take an action. That's ego talking. You know, if you actually chose to not take an action, the world would still go on.
And I know that. I do. I know all these things. And
but you forgot, right?
And I think that's what causes me the sad feeling that I'm feeling. I don't know if sad is really the word. Not sad, but maybe disappointed in myself because I know this, and yet I still get drawn into it, and I know where it's going to lead, and I know that everything's going to happen the way it's supposed to happen without whether I do this or not do this. And
it's ego that's telling you to feel sad. It's ego that makes you feel sad because, you know, it's judged you and told you this story and you're not fitting into its ideal. And that ideal, either you believe that the ego's ideal is correct or you don't. If you feel that it's correct, then by golly, live according to it. But if you feel like it's not, then don't.
And I know
that that's easier said than done. Believe me, I know it. You need to give yourself time. But that's the whole point. Remind yourself of it every day. Every opportunity that comes up, remind yourself. Now, there's a big difference between taking an action compulsively based on ego. There's a big difference between that and first thinking, okay, I'm going to take this action that ego says I should take, but I know who I am. So I'm going to take this action, but I'm actually going to tune in with spirit first. Spirit, I know who you are. I'm going to do this action because I don't know what else to do. I'm identifying with my ego. I'm going to go do it. And then I'm going to come back here, ego and spirit, and let you correct me. There's a big difference. That's being vigilant, right? That's being in your power. Hey, I'm going to go do this, even though I know it's probably wrong, and then we'll work on it later, but I'm doing this for right now. You know, Jesus, help me make the right decision. My new thing I've finally gotten is, Jesus, help me hear the voice of God, right? And I'm liking this thing of help me hear the voice of God because I can now hear it, you know, and I know the difference. Help me take action on the voice of God. Let me do what he tells me to do. Help me incorporate God's will so that I know God's will. And when I'm not doing God's will, let me at least be conscious of it. But it's a process. And you forgive yourself in the process. Don't beat yourself up. Start by stopping ego from beating you up because you didn't do, you know, what ego said you should do and the way it said you should. There's no judgment in spirit. So be non-judgmental, starting with yourself. Is that helpful?
Very. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry, Sandy, for jumping all over your stuff.
Sorry, Sandy. Thank you, guys, for being patient.
You know, the only thing, I was listening to all that, and, you know, I just can say, Ananda, it's I have kind of something like that going on with some people in my life, close friends, and what I've done is when they say to me, it's like, well, you always have the answers. And it's like, well, you know, you really do have the answer within yourself. And, you know, I think maybe you should just work on this a little bit because I've got a lot going on right now. Mm-hmm. And it's, I stop and I'm like, okay, I count to 10 under my breath. It's like, are they going to yell at me? Or is it? And you know what? They go on and they figure it out. They're just used to me being a certain way. And now all of a sudden people are reacting to me different because I'm standing up for myself and it's like I'm speaking my truth and it's all different. They're like, what is this Course in Miracle? What is this coaching thing? You're so different now. And it's like, no, I'm really just taking care of myself. And
Sandy,
you know,
I feel jealous. My ego feels jelly because nobody ever says to me, you have the answers. Like, never. I'm just saying. Like everybody says to me, you always give me a swift kick in the butt. But
hey,
nobody
Crystal,
ever says to have
Crystal.
All the answers.
Huh.
Crystal, well, you give me answers all the time.
I was going to say, wait a minute. You always have the answers.
I know, you, but nobody ever says it. Because no
well,
one,
I'm saying it now, girlfriend.
Just tell your
you are full of answers.
Oh, that's hilarious. Because I always think I'm a terrible psychic. You know, people come to me and they're like, you know, dialing my phone line and they're like, hey, I want to know this. I'm like, no, man, I can't tell you that. The only thing I can tell you to do is go back and listen to your higher self. I guess that's the answer, though. But, yeah, that's the answer I got. Listen to your higher self.
There you go.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for answering my ego's call for identification.
We bless your ego. You can have your ego do the Yahoo dance now.
Yes. Woo, go ahead. Yes. All right, Sandy. Thank you.
No problem. There's a revelation. Amen, brother, sister.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My phone's dying, so I'm against the wall, and I don't know what the hell y'all want me to do now.
Just finish up your section. You said you had a point meet. You got any more points you want to point out for us?
No, I'm done pointing out.
Okay, is there anything else in section one that, section six that anybody wants to share or bring out?
Well, I'm paragraph eight, Crystal. I'm curious if you have any insight or I have that double starred. Ego
the
believes
whole paragraph.
It can have, well, let me see what I wrote. Ego believes it can attack God and tries to convince us that oh yes. Oh, I remember now. The ego tries to convince us that we have attacked God. It's my little guilt trip, going back to the beginning.
Mm.
Ego wants to engage the mind in this delusional system. To have peace, I must give up the conflict. That was it. So it was that thing, wow, I never really thought about it before, that it's all those ideas that I was told when I was younger, and I just continued to believe that when I make mistakes, that I'm disappointing God.
Yeah.
And it was told to me so many times as a little child that it was just imprinted in me. And as I've grown up, I didn't even question it. It was already there. So every time I made a mistake, that's how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see it written here, that's just the ego playing its little game, trying to get me on its side. Because,
right.
You've already attacked God. So.
Ananda, I want to identify with you on that. I don't know if anybody else can, but I feel that I didn't know that I felt the guilt behind attacking God. I always thought that I loved God, but I'd have these episodes of violence, and I'm talking violence, that either I would act out on other people or other things or on myself. And it's only recently that I realized that I was not loving God, that I was actually hating God, loathing God, and pissed off at God as hell. Boy, that brought out an episode of some darkness. And I'm like, wait a second, though, because thank God I had A Course in Miracles, because it's like showing me, like, God doesn't care if you attack it. God is always loving you. You don't need to beat yourself up for attacking God, because God didn't even feel your attack. It's as if God didn't even know it, because he don't do it, you know? That gave me tremendous freedom to go on and to go in and dig out that stuff where I felt guilty. So I do recommend some shadow work for you. Go in and look at the places where you feel like you're attacking God. Take responsibility for it for yourself, because your ego likes taking responsibility for its own drama, and then release it. You know, say, yeah, God, I didn't like you right here. And then say, okay, I'm done with that. I see where I've done it. I'm over it. And then let it go, you know? And would you mind, Ananda, I'm sorry, you guys, I'm going to just go on with this a little bit longer. But would you mind reading paragraph 8 out for me?
I have repeatedly emphasized that the ego does not believe it can attack God and tries to persuade you that you have done this.
Sorry, read it again, because you said does not attack God.
I have repeatedly emphasized that the ego does believe it can, attack God and tries to persuade you that you have done this. If the mind cannot attack, the ego proceeds perfectly logically to the belief that you must be a body. By not seeing you as you are, it can see itself as it wants to be. Aware of its weakness, the ego wants your allegiance, but not as you really are. The ego therefore wants to engage your mind in its own delusional system, because otherwise the light of your understanding would dispel it. It wants no part of truth, because the ego itself is not true. If truth is total, the untruth cannot exist. Commitment to either must be total. They cannot coexist in your mind without splitting it. If they cannot coexist in peace, and if you want peace, you must give up the idea of conflict entirely and for all time. This requires vigilance only as long as you do not recognize what is true. While you believe that two totally contradictory thought systems share truth, your need for vigilance is apparent.
Fantastic. Do you have more clarity about what's going on there? Or is it still vague?
No, I feel this really, like I said, kind of just, wow, liberated me. Almost instantaneously, that shift occurred, and it was such a blessing.
Wonderful. Does anybody else have anything in section 6 that they want to talk about, share? Otherwise, we move on to section 7, the totality of the kingdom.
Okay, so I have a really hard time. Sorry, you guys. I have a really hard time summarizing all this. It's like I read this, and it's like every word hits me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, how am I going to, you know, summarize, make this short? Because section 7 was full of a lot of stuff. Anyway.
Yes, it was the totality of the kingdom.
Yeah, exactly. I wish I need shorter sections, I think, to work on. But anyway, and always, I think each section, the very first paragraph really kind of is packed with, like, what all the points are, and then they're kind of addressed throughout. So whenever you deny a blessing to a brother, you will feel deprived, because denial is as total as love. That was, wow. It is as impossible to deny part of the sonship as is to love it in part. Nor is it possible to love it totally at times, which I thought was interesting. You cannot be totally committed sometimes. Denial has no power in itself, but you can give it the power of your mind, whose power is without limit. If you use it to deny reality, reality is gone for you. It cannot be partly appreciated. That is why denying any part of it means you have lost the awareness of all of it. Yet denial is the defense, and so it is as capable of being used positively as well as negatively. Denial used negatively will be destructive, because it will be used for attack. But in the service of the Holy Spirit, denial can help you recognize part of reality and thus appreciate all of reality. Mind is too powerful to be subject to exclusion. You will never be able to exclude yourself from your thoughts. I thought that was interesting about that. I had a question mark about how that works. So in my thoughts, that you are the product of your thoughts, denial of the false is a proper use of denial, but to use it to reject the truth is an improper use of denial. You cannot be partially committed to the truth sometimes. It is an all-or-nothing decision. To value the false sometimes is not to be committed to the attainment of the truth. Whatever you value, you will attract into your awareness and experience. So that's like going back to the appreciation thing. Whatever you value, whatever you appreciate is what you're going to love, what you're going to experience in your life. And then section 2, what happened? Interesting, because I type this in Microsoft Word and then I paste it in here, and it comes out very strangely sometimes. When a brother acts insanely, he is offering you an opportunity to bless him. I think this has come up a few times in the past. I have to keep reminding myself of this. Whatever you give, you receive. This is the law of God and has no exceptions. Thus, to receive a blessing, you must give a blessing. So thoughts are things, just coupled with the law of God, states what you give, you receive, results in what you perceive yourself to be. Thus, if you are confused as to what you truly are and believe that you are a product of lack, you project this same lack out from your own mind into the world. The goal of this course is not for you to change the world, but rather change your thinking about the world. So what you think you are, you become due to the power of your mind and this law. What you give, you receive. And then in section 3, you do not need God's blessing because you have it forever. The ego's picture of you is deprived and unloving and vulnerable. You cannot love the ego's picture of you, yet you can very easily escape from it. So your brother is the mirror of how you see yourself. So you see your brother as limited in any way,
you place that same limitation on yourself. The sonship is not complete until all that has been created, including you, are seen by you as whole, perfect, and complete. To deny the ego's false image of you is an example of the proper use of denial. In this case, you are simply denying the false, which leaves you with only the truth. And then in section 4, it talks about illusions. Illusions are investments, and they will only last as long as you value them. Values are relative, but they are powerful because they are mental judgments. So the illusions have no reality and truth. They only have the power that you give them. And your thoughts make the illusion appear real within your dreamer's mind. When the dreamer ceases to value the unreal, the illusion will disappear. In section 5, the gift of life is yours to give because it was given to you. You are unaware of your gift and you do not give it. This was an interesting part to me.
What section are you in, Ananda? I got lost.
Paragraph 5.
Okay, thank you.
And where Jesus said that, says that, where I lost my, oh, there it is, on a different page. The gift of life is yours to give because it was given to you, but you are unaware of your gift and you do not give it. Therefore, you are not extending the gift you have and are. And all confusion comes from not extending life because it is not the will of your Creator. So it's like we're given this gift, share, and because of ego, we don't give it freely or totally. Love is life. Being created by love, you are love and must extend love. The extension is the compliance with God's law. To give is to receive. To create is to extend. Since you are holy love, you must extend love's wholeness. Ooh. And section 6. Only honor is a fitting gift for those whom God himself created worthy of honor and whom God honors. So to reawaken to what you are, you must once again remember what you are. Since what you give, you receive, you must see the oneness in all that God created in order to discover your own oneness. If you cannot love yourself, you cannot love your brother. In section 7, one child of God is the only teacher sufficiently worthy to teach another. The Holy Spirit is in all minds and teaches the same lessons to all. So we are all teachers. We teach what we value. We can choose to teach what our big self values or what our little self values. Our big self values the truth of the Holy Spirit's thought system. If this is what you value, you will deny your brother's false image of himself as a body and see him only as unlimited spirit. The vision you give your brother will be the same vision you receive and hold for yourself. So it's a gift about reflection of whatever you, however you view other people, is how you're going to, it's going to be reflected back to you. And then, which leads, of course, to attack. Attack could never promote attack unless you perceive this as a means of depriving you of something you want. Ego. Using attack and fear destroys your sense of oneness. Be fearful. You must believe that there is something outside of you of which to be afraid. Since your egoic self claims you're not everything, you must lack what it perceives as outside of you. And what you perceive as separate from you can attempt to take what you have and also resist giving you what they possess. Thus, attack becomes the natural result of the ego's thought system. Yet because you are unlimited spirit, you cannot truly lack for anything. Our big self values the truth, and we can never lose our divine birthright. When we value egoic littleness, we deny our spiritual being. Not valuing our spirit, we believe our divine birthright has been lost. It has not been lost. Rather, by our denial, we have chosen not to accept it. Section 9. Being the part of your mind that does not believe it is responsible for itself, and being without allegiance to God, the ego is incapable of trust. With an interesting trust issue. The egoic mind claims that you are not responsible for what you experience. It claims that you are an innocent victim of outside forces, that you are beyond your control. The ego utilizes projection as a tool to convince you that this is so. Projection takes your own thoughts and transfers or projects these same upon another. We then claim that our originator, the originator of our thought, was the other person. You made me feel that way. This allows us to shift the blame and guilt from our own mind to another. Thus, when we attack another, the ego claims that we are merely defending ourselves from the other's original fact. And number 10, you are the will of God. Do not accept anything else as your will, or you are denying what you are. Deny this and you will attack, believing that you have been attacked. So understand that totality rests on the understanding that you are not an individual but a oneness. Each individual part is like a hologram of the totality. And a true hologram contains the whole. We are all the oneness of that one self. And finally, perceive any part of the ego's thought system as wholly insane, wholly delusional, wholly undesirable, and you will have correctly evaluated all of it. By perceiving the ego's thought system as insane, you have made the choice to follow the thought system of the Holy Spirit. This change in your thought system's allegiance opens the door to reawakening the memory of what you really are, what you value, you call into your awareness, and this becomes your experience. Egoic giving is always perceived to be a sacrifice because the ego believes that having and being are not the same. To the ego, to have, you must possess, and to give, you must lose what you originally possess. Form cannot be shared, and someone must be made to sacrifice what she or he had. To the ego, all are separate from each other, and thus to give and to receive are mutually exclusive. But that's not the way it is. So, I don't know. There's a lot. A lot to take in and digest.
Yeah. Thank you, Ananda.
Well, my goal is to work on being better at summarizing.
I don't think that you need to worry one bit. You know, I think it's perfectly fine. I enjoy it. I'm not complaining. Okay, anybody have any questions or thoughts about Section 7?
This is Marisha. I've been in my silence for quite some time because I've been over here fighting with my ego. I've had a hard time focusing because I've got some angry things going on right now. Aside from having an enlightened week internally, it seems that I'm fighting a lot. And I'm angry about that. So, Ananda, your section blessed me because although I was having a hard time focusing, I tuned in very well to every attack is a call for his patience, since his patience can translate attack into blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard what you said. I was having a hard time with the idea of projection and wondering, what could I be putting out there to deserve this?
Mm-hmm.
Except for, it's not necessarily what I'm putting out there. It's what I believe about myself that allows me to feel the way that I do when these attacks are happening.
Mm.
If I didn't have the backstory that allowed me to believe what I have believed in my ego, those attacks wouldn't matter. And they don't matter because I don't believe. I did believe it, but I don't believe it. So thank you for that. So you don't need to work on your summaries, darling. They are exactly what they need to be.
Well, thank you.
And Crystalline, we don't need to work on time because we get exactly what we need to get.
Yes. Thank you, Marisha. Thank you for sharing your perspective and sharing your experience. You know, I understand that ego. I got to say, I can understand it. And at the same time, it don't matter. We're all good, man.
Isn't it tricky, though? It is so tricky because it'll take you right out of your peaceful place. Whew. I started this call, if I thought, in a peaceful place. And that crap just crept in and starts fighting. And like you said, oh, you're hungry. You should stop and get something to eat. Get out of here. What are you doing? And it's such a mind trick. Mm-hmm. It's craziness.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Thank you, Marisha, for sharing your perspective. Ananda, you want to say anything before we move on to Marisha's section?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
All right. How about Graciela and Sandy? Y'all okay?
I was wondering if I can sneak in my section so I can get going to my baseball game.
Yeah. And Marisha, would you mind if Graciela hopped ahead of the line?
Fine with me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Graciela, for speaking up. And you're doing section 10, the confusion of pain and joy.
Yes. So I have here that the ego is the only reason we could possibly want any part of the of its logical conclusions. And, sorry, are you guys able to hear that beep?
Oh, yeah, I guess we can.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you too.
Okay, got it. Sorry, I don't know how to put my call waiting on mute, but let me see if
That's
I can...
That's okay, we can ignore it.
So, number two, I have, it is possible that we don't see what's truly in our mind and we don't admit it as well. If we're willing, we will see logical outcomes. And when you asked Ananda, I was like, I felt like you were speaking to me as well. You said, what's your question? Then, in fact, and then I think my question, if I apply it to myself in general, is, am I willing?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Am I willing? Yes, I'm ready. Are you really? Then what are you waiting for? Why haven't you done it yet?
Yes.
Not really willing, but okay. Good. Excellent. Thank you.
And then it says, but whether we're willing or not, its core truth remains. You know, we just see it maybe differently, but it's the truth is what it is. This is God's will, the objective truth. And the truth is the kingdom. Section 3, the Holy Spirit will direct us away from pain, but we tend to confuse joy and pain. This is where the idea of sacrifice comes from. So just simply put, obey the Holy Spirit. Obey, you know, that T-shirt, that saying, I think it's like a brand of some sort. And number four, I put reality is God's will. This is ego's weakness, but it can be your strength. And then I think I've mentioned Byron Katie before, but she is the queen of reality. And I also thought of mentioning that to Ananda later on, but I'm already mentioning it. to just, you know, love what is, and there is a reason for everything that we're going through. And section 5, weakness is frightening, yet we are choosing weakness when we avoid his guidance. Therefore, we want to be frightened, basically. And then I put three little bullets, sacrifices of the ego, and that's when trust becomes impossible. And we refuse to follow any guidance at all.
Mm-hmm.
So section 6, God trusts you. And I put a couple exclamation marks. I'm like, oh, wow, that's so reassuring. And just to take that in, and, you know, sometimes you don't feel like you have anyone to trust, or who are you going to talk to, or what about me? I think you can feel peaceful that God trusts you and we are his will. So then I have a question mark here on where I wrote, the separation lies in the error that we share God's will with Jesus. I don't.
Can you give me your paragraph and sentence numbers?
Paragraph 6. And the sentence is 666. Sharing his will with me is not really open a choice, though it may seem to be. And then that's when it goes to separation lies in this error.
Yeah. Graciela, there's this fiction that says ego is real and this story is real and we are separate. Right? So it seems to us that there is a choice, but there really isn't a choice because reality is reality. And you're going to go back to the reality, which is that you are the thought of God's mind. It'll be, you know, maybe when you're 98, or maybe it'll happen when you're 65. Whenever it is that you make that transition, you can do it in consciousness and go back right now, as we are doing by going through A Course in Miracles. We've made the choice that we want to experience heaven on earth. Now we don't want to be separated any longer. Or it can happen by force when we die, when we have to, you know, we're sucked into the white light because that's who we are. So that's what it means, that the separation lies in this error. Sharing his will with me is not really open to choice. You have to share God's will, even though it seems like you don't have to. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay, cool.
So I have here in my notes, the way out of this is by not deciding. So I think it's along the same lines that you just explained, right? It's just you don't have to make up your mind. You just, the I am. And number 7, I just put directly from the text, I said, his voice will teach you how to distinguish between pain and joy. The way you were saying, you know, just ask, what is your will, God, or Jesus, help me hear the voice of God. I love it. It's a great tool. And then number 8, I put miracle. A miracle is a lesson in love, which is joy, which is truth, and which is the difference between pain and joy. And so, again, another self-inquiry question that you can ask daily is, how did I not obey today? If there's conflict. Whenever you feel, okay, how was my day? Or throughout the day. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have breaks here and there, did I really need to go to the teacher's lounge and vent? Or should I have gone to my classroom and breathed for 10 minutes?
Mm.
So that's another.
Yeah.
Real world tip that I find myself doing sometimes.
Or you can do what Jesus says and forget about it. Don't worry about how you behaved that day. Just focus on how you're behaving now. Are you breathing now or are you venting now? No,
right.
I'm breathing now. I'm breathing now. Because there is a little bit of an implication that's going on here with A Course in Miracles, and I'm seeing it more and more in other spiritual texts that says, you know, you really don't have to unravel your ego. It's like, how many times do you have to revisit the fact that you are an abused child? How many times do you have to say that over and over again? Have you not understood that you are an abused child? No, you get it. Okay. Did you not already blame your parents once? Okay, you have blamed your parents. As a matter of fact, you've blamed them 650 times. Okay, do you need to do it again? No, you don't really. Okay, can you just let it go? Can you stop going back to how you behaved yesterday and just focus on the now? Because you've already experienced that pain. You've already written about it in your journal. You've already told all your girlfriends. You've told your parents about it. Why don't now you just focus on the love? Because it's not serving you to keep going back to the past.
Mm-hmm.
So just focus on the love. Try that now. And then you'll see that there is a different way of living. Now you're ready for the next step. Now you can let go of the past because now you have something else that's more fulfilling. You can let go of the food because you already know how that chocolate cake tastes, and you know how when you eat two slices of it, you feel really guilty, and then you start feeling like you need to go running, and then you start breaking out in hives because you're upset and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just don't do it now. Why don't now you focus on this thing that you know makes you feel fantastic, that you know the difference now between joy and pain. Eating that chocolate cake is not going to bring you joy. It's actually bringing you pain because every bite makes you feel really guilty. So now focus on the joy, which is really just peaceful quietness, just being where you are. Actually, that feels really, really peaceful. Your ego says that that's painful because it starts saying, well, this is painful. I should be going over there doing this. I should be doing that. I can go on Facebook. I can go make some phone calls. I can go walk over here. I should be running.
Mm-hmm.
That's really pain. And really, actually, that peace is what really joy feels like. And you know it because when you're in it, it feels really good. Just saying. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that section about the food that you initially brought up about yourself really helped me too. And I've been doing the same thing, and I'm really ready to stop.
Yeah. I'm going to post that video for you guys. I'm going to post all three of the Kirby videos that I've been watching. And you all listen to them as you want to, you know. I'll also post them as part of our ACM daily lessons, like, but it'll come up again in a month. So if you find that you're not ready for it right now, it will be there for you in about a month's time so you can try it on again. Because sometimes we don't need it, you know. Sometimes it's beyond you already. You're like, I'm already there. I got the love thing. And
mm-hmm.
maybe not, though. Maybe it's also not resonating with you. You'll try it on again in a month and see how it works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Crystal, and thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Graciela. Thank you for a wonderful presentation.
And
okay,
do you want to do a section next week?
Will you be around next week, or do you have games?
No, I should be around. Yes, I'm fine.
You want to do the first section in Chapter 8?
Sure.
Okay. Chapter 8 is called The Journey Back, and the first section is called The Direction of the Curriculum.
Perfect.
All right, cool. Thanks, Graciela. Talk to you next week. Good luck with the game.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Say
bye.
Have
fun at the game.
Bye. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, ladies. We are going back to Section 8. For Marisha to give us the unbelievable belief. And I'm just going to say, Marisha, that did make me laugh. I thought about you and I said, yep, I get it.
Man, kicked my butt.
Yeah.
Kicked my butt up and down the street. At least that's how I felt.
All right, let's have it then.
However, we ended in love. Okay, so Section 8, the unbelievable belief. Tells us without projection there can be no anger, just as without extension there can be no love. This reflects a fundamental law of the mind. The Holy Spirit regards it as the fundamental law of sharing, in that you give what you value in order to keep it, extension. To the ego, it is the law of deprivation. You lose what you give away. We may choose how we apply the principles, but our minds must either project or extend. Section 2. We have to fully understand the connection between projection and anger to undo it. The ego will trick us into thinking we've resolved our conflicts using its own warped versions of the laws of God. This made me think of religion. The ego uses a distorted version of God's law to differentiate and separate people. Mm. It creates a premise that those who follow and believe as the church does, or I do, are good and all others are bad. It gives a false impression that our problems are solved because our religion offers salvation. Actually, what's happening is a strengthening of the separation perception. When we exclude parts of the sonship and don't see them as ourselves, we are preserving the ego's projection.
Mm-hmm.
Section 3.
Mm.
There are two major errors in the ego's plan. First, conflict cannot be projected because it cannot be shared. Any attempt to keep part of it and get rid of another part does not really mean anything. Remember that a conflicted teacher is a poor teacher and a poor learner. His lessons are confused, and their transfer value is limited by his confusion. The second error is the idea that you can get rid of something you do not want by giving it away. Instead, Jesus wants us to know that giving it is how we keep it. Projecting reaffirms our fears. What we project on others becomes our shadow lurking in our darkness. We have to be vigilant to protect ourselves from a perceived return attack. Section 4. You cannot perpetuate an illusion about another without perpetuating it about yourself. The mind cannot attack and cannot be attacked. I think this references the effect of a belief about another person. If I believe a person is lazy, I have to own that laziness as my own projection. I am therefore affected by laziness. Mm-hmm. Judging my brother is a judgment on myself. The ego is our belief, a confusion of identification. Section 5. Just as we made the ego by believing in it, we can undo it by withdrawing that belief. We must take sole responsibility of the ego's existence. Taking full responsibility for the error of the ego allows us to give it to the Holy Spirit to be undone completely. Section 6. The Holy Spirit will teach us to perceive beyond our belief. The more we learn about the ego, the more unbelievable it will become. It may seem believable because it is made by belief. Beliefs are varied and dependent on perception and other changing variables. The Holy Spirit perceives only truth.
Mm-hmm.
Section 7. The whole purpose of this course is to teach us that the ego is unbelievable and will forever be unbelievable. Accepting the atonement is a decision against the belief that we can be alone. This eradicates the idea of the separation and affirms our identity as the sonship. This truth is beyond the limitations of belief. That's what I've got.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a beautiful summary, Marisha. I like how you summarize each section for us in your own words. It's real fantastic. It's really good teaching. And I also, the points that you made just really resonated with me. Does anybody else have anything they want to add to about Marisha's presentation or about what's the material there?
No, you do such a great job, Marisha. I wish I could be so succinct and still maintain all the depth of it. Wonderful. Thank you.
Your ego wishes it could be succinct because, Ananda, your way is just perfect.
Absolutely.
Just saying that you just experienced an identity crisis there for that moment.
And you're only seeing in me what is already in you.
Wow. Whoa. I'm telling you, man.
Thank you, ladies. That's awesome. Thank you.
We are so wonderful together. We are the cluster, the mirror of the entire sonship right here. Does anybody else have anything you want to say, want to share? How you doing over there, Miss Sandy D? I'm assuming she's good. All right. We can go on to Section 9, the Extension of the Kingdom. This I'm going to present. Okay, so in the first section, I have, okay, this, I'm going to start off by saying the extension of the kingdom. I've been really meditating on extension. And I did this picture on my Sketches iPad app. And I posted it on Facebook. And that picture I did when I was in full alignment understanding of what it means to extend. And the picture is that one where there's this golden light, and from that golden light, it's kind of a big golden light, and then there's a little set of like golden threads that golden and silver threads that are extending from it into a smaller golden light. And that big golden light is source, and then there's this extension of source into the golden light that I am. And then my I am kind of goes through this process and puts on everything in my plastic bag. Remember we did that plastic bag meditation and we put our clothing and our body and our ideas into that plastic bag? Well, my I am presence puts on everything in that plastic bag, and then there's a little picture of me that's still surrounded by this golden light, but it looks like me. And then there's a little globe. And there you see a little me on the globe, the little earth. There's a little me in there living life on it. And the thing that I like about that picture is because it helps me remember exactly who I am, that I am always only that golden light dressed up as Crystalline Bell, dressed up on the earth living in Montreal, just one expression of who I am. But not, that thing on the earth is not who I am. It's just the thing that's in the mind of who I am being acted out in this particular moment. That, with that being said, first line, paragraph 1 in section 9 says, only you can limit your creative power, but God wills to release it. So that lit me up. It made me think, hey, I have all this creative power, and my ego puts limits on it. Like, oh, you can't create like this. It has to go this way. And then, but God is saying, hey, don't limit your creative power. Extend, extend, you know, and that really excited me. So I jumped down to, in that same paragraph, sentence number 5, and it says, the Holy Spirit is in the part of the mind that lies between the ego and the spirit, mediating between them, always in favor of the spirit. So the Holy Spirit is that part that's willing to say, hey, ego, not right now. That's not appropriate. Hey, come on. Hello, Crystalline. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the role it plays. So in paragraph 2, I have highlighted sentence 5, creating is the opposite of loss, as blessing is the opposite of sacrifice. And I thought back to school when you got those intelligence tests and it said, this thing resembles this thing. Why? And I'm like, okay, I always did really poorly on those tests. And what I said, though, is I'm going to work this through. And I said, so how is creating the opposite of loss? And I said, loss is the perception of being without something. So loss is the perception of being without something. And creating is knowing that you have it all and extending from this place. So that's how those two are opposites. And then blessing is the opposite of sacrifice. And I thought, okay, how is blessing the opposite of sacrifice? And I said, blessing is giving it all away for you don't fear losing it. That is total creation. And sacrifice is like being afraid to give something away because you fear that you lose it. And what we're learning in A Course in Miracles is you give it all away in order to have it. In order to have peace, teach peace to learn it, right? It's like you have to, it's this large, unending swirl of beauty, of love, of abundance, of stuff. Just give it, give it, give it. As you give it away, you make space for more to come in. So the more you give away, the more that comes in. It's fantastic. I love it. That's how we extend. So in paragraph 3, first sentence, the extension of God's being is spirit's only function. And Ananda, actually, this reminds me of you and what we were just talking about with you, in that it's the extension of God's being that you have to focus on, not on ego story. If you focus on who you are, the extension of God's being, ego story is going to have to respond to that, because ego is only creating not from its own devices, but what it does is it takes the impulses in your heart, which is God's being, and then it twists them around and misinterprets them and creates an ugly picture of something that's beautiful inside your heart. So the extension of God's being is spirit's only function. I'm going to read this whole paragraph because I have a lot highlighted. So it says, the extension of God's being is spirit's only function. Its fullness cannot be contained any more than can the fullness of its creator. Fullness is extension. The ego's whole thought system blocks extension and thus blocks your only function. It therefore blocks your joy so that you perceive yourself as unfulfilled. Now tell me that I didn't get this section for a reason. This is all about me trying to fill myself up with food. This section is all about allowing yourself to be filled up with joy instead of with food. Ego intakes my joy. And even, like, I can feel joyous, like, I can recognize it on a full, like, in my full consciousness, and my ego will be like, yes, I feel so good, let's make pizza, let's make a cake, oh my God, I feel great like right now, let's eat some cookies, you know? It's really obnoxious. I have these really funny things with food. So, let's see, ego's whole thought system blocks extension and thus blocks your only function. It therefore blocks your joy so that you perceive yourself as unfulfilled. Unless you create, you are unfulfilled. But God does not know unfulfillment, and therefore you must create. You may not know your own creations, but this can no more interfere with their reality than your awareness of spirit can interfere with its being. And I have a little note there that says the mystery with an exclamation point, because that thing threw me for a moment. It said, you may not know your own creations. And that makes me realize, because I thought, well, what does that mean, you may not know your own creations? Because as I extend, I don't latch on to something like ego does. Ego, when it's creating its story, it latches on to things and it categorizes and it puts them into different boxes. And when I identify with my ego, I cannot see all the things that I'm creating because I can't understand them. So, for example, the thing that comes to mind is the butterfly that flaps its wings. Like, it can set off a whole level of creation and creativity just by a flap of its wings. The butterfly does not need to know that as it flaps its wings, it has change the whole dynamic of life, you know, just by being in its moment and being fully in its own glory by flapping its wings. It's the same thing with us. I don't have to trace and see and be aware on a conscious level of how I have affected world events. That's not what it is. Every single part of us as a sonship is a significant aspect of who of the whole world's functioning. The whole world has to needs every single one of us in all of our manifestations in order to function. That's really important. So you don't have to know what you're creating. You just have to know who you are and allow your creations to take their own format. And if you are creating as God created, then you know you are creating rightly and you know that you are serving the sonship. Okay, in section four, I have highlighted that a split mind cannot perceive its fullness and needs the miracle of its wholeness to dawn upon it and heal it. That, I think, is really reiterating everything that we have talked about before. You got to listen to one mind. Whose mind are you listening to? You got to listen to one voice. Whose voice are you listening to? My new thing, Jesus, I'm listening to my ego right now, and my ego is saying that I don't know what God's voice is saying, and really, ego doesn't need to know. I just need you to help me right now to hear the voice of God. I have a split mind cannot perceive its fullness and needs the miracle of its wholeness to dawn upon it and heal it. This reawakens the wholeness in it and restores it to the kingdom because of its acceptance of wholeness. That's all I need you to do, Jesus. Have me listen. And all I know is that I'm going to be returned to the kingdom when I listen to the voice of God. I don't need to know what to do next. All I need to do is focus on that love, that peace, and then I'm okay. In the next section, I have highlighted the first paragraph, first sentence, which says, your creations are protected for you because the Holy Spirit, who is in your mind, knows of them and can bring them into your awareness whenever you let him. So there's that tendency of the ego to want to know, I want to know, I want to know, I want to know, I want to know. And this is saying that the Holy Spirit will bring them into your awareness. You don't need your ego to help you know. Like we go around and we say, I need to figure out how to do this. I need to figure out how to do that. When really all you need to do is go into your higher self, let Jesus and the Holy Spirit help you hear the voice of God. You will then be tuned in through your awareness to what you're creating, what you need to create. Everything comes through that awareness through the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read the last two sections. You have not failed to increase the inheritance of the sons of God and thus have not failed to secure it for yourself. This addresses that guilt that we feel because we feel like we've been in our ego and we're not doing it right. This is saying, don't worry about it. You haven't failed. Since it was the will of God to give it to you, he gave it to you forever. It's always yours. You're just here experiencing this, the differentiation. You're experiencing what God is not. That's your privilege. Enjoy it. Since it was his will that you have it forever, he gave you the means for keeping it, and you have done so. Disobeying God's will is meaningful only to the insane. Don't give in to the guilt. In truth, it is impossible. Your self-fullness is as boundless as God's. Like his, it extends forever and in perfect peace. Don't worry about getting it right. Don't worry about what you haven't done. Just be. Its radiance is so intense that it creates imperfect joy, and only the whole can be born of its wholeness. Be confident that you have never lost your identity and the extensions which maintain it in wholeness and peace. Miracles are an expression of this confidence. They are reflections of both your proper identification with your brothers and of your awareness that your identification is maintained by extension. That's creation. The miracle is a lesson in total perception. By including any part of totality in the lesson, you have included the whole. That's saying you are simply God, period. You are a part of this whole thing. You are the whole thing. You're all it. Okay, that's my section 9. Any questions or any input or any thoughts? All right, then we can hop over to our last section, section 11, the state of grace, and that's going to be presented to us by Marisha.
All righty. Yeah, this whole half of this chapter has been marvelous.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're in, where are we? Section 11. Part 1, following the Holy Spirit is the easiest and most natural thing to do. The world opposes our natural state. The world identifies with an order of difficulty in everything, whereas the Holy Spirit knows miracles are a state of grace with no order of difficulty. Section 2, being outside of grace defies our natural state, therefore we cannot adapt. We can only be happy when we know we are connected to our Creator. As long as we rely on our own understanding and feed the ego, we will be lost.
Mm.
When we remember we are the will of God, we will find perfect peace.
Mm.
Section 3. As we look at the world we made, we realize it is unfit because it honors deficit, inequality, greed, etc. A kingdom for the sonship has no lack. God watches over his children and denies them nothing. Yet when they deny him, they do not know this because they deny themselves everything. Section 4, I'm going to read fully. I call upon you to remember that I have chosen you to teach the kingdom to the kingdom. There are no exceptions to this lesson, because the lack of exceptions is the lesson.
Oh, sorry.
Deep, right?
Right. Sorry.
That is why this is a direct quote.
Yeah.
Every son who returns to the kingdom with this lesson in his heart has healed the sonship and given thanks to God. Everyone who learns this lesson has become the perfect teacher because he has learned it of the Holy Spirit. Section 5, when a mind has only light, it knows only light. The light of God transforms the darkness of the mind into the majesty of God. Recognizing the majesty of God as your brother is to accept your own inheritance. When we see God's gifts in others, it is because he also gave them to us, Ananda. We have trained to be different and special, which has been hard for us.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus recognizes the suffering of humanity. He knows we are not in our right mind. Section 6. Only the whole sonship can co-create with God. When we realize the worth of our brothers, we heal them and us. We acknowledge their power and our own. Section 7, you cannot deny part of truth. We will know our creations when we know our Creator and all he created. To know the oneness of the sonship is to know all creation.
Mm.
And that's it, and that's all.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Exclamation point. Yes.
So I finally got around to watching the A Course in Miracles movie.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not certain if this is the movie that you had told us about in the beginning, because this was a documentary.
Yeah, it's a documentary. It's from, like, the 1950s. It's really corny as hell.
See, this one didn't seem corny to me, and that's why I'm wondering if it was the same thing. Because this documentary, it detailed why the book was written and how it was written.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe I missed the corniness.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe you're so sucked into it.
maybe. It's got me full throttle, huh?
It's got you full throttle. No, you know, I enjoyed the movie.
Marisa's not placing any judgment on the levels of values of the thing.
Oh, yes, exactly. Exactly.
At this point, maybe it's better that I watched it now.
Exactly,
but
maybe so.
I was fascinated that she was a scientist, and she was opposed to this information.
Mm-hmm.
So for it to be so eloquent in her opposition, it makes it even more phenomenal to me.
I'm blown away. I'm always like, what? You know, it's mind blowing to me, and yet I totally get it. Yeah.
I was listening to Marianne Williamson yesterday, and she said when she was first introduced to ASIM, she didn't care for it. She didn't like the language. She didn't like the religiousness that brought up in her mind. And at first she was a little bit resistant. And then as she started to proceed through it, all of those thoughts just disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a number of us had to, well, you know, that's what ego brought. Ego's like, oh, okay, my label is I don't do a male God. I don't do masculine God. I do feminine God, or I do unity. And, okay, do you want this information or do you want to deal with ego? Okay, ego, let's take control, and you will be serving me. Okay, so we're going to take this information and enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah. Fantastic. Wonderful presentation on the state of grace there, Marisha. Thank you for the points that you highlighted. Made it very real for me. Does anybody else want to say anything about that section? All right. Anything before we move on and assign ourselves some work for next week? Okay. So I would like to, I'm going to just hop on to the schedule and see what we're doing for next week, because I don't remember.
Chapter 8, section 1 through 5.
Okay, so we have a little slower pace here. Okay, so Graciela is going to do section 1. Who would like to do section 2, the difference between imprisonment and freedom? May I do that section? Because I think I need to learn whatever it has to say. okay.
Sure.
I think that'll be talking right to me. How about the Holy Encounter, section 3?
I'll take that, Ananda.
All right. Thank you, Ananda. And section 4, the gift of freedom.
I would love that.
Marisha? Hey, Sandy D, will you do section, we're going through 5, right, Ananda?
Yes.
Okay. Sandy D, will you do section 5 for us?
Sandy D. Find vibe.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's right. Okay. I'm going to write her and ask the undivided will of the sonship. I will write her and ask if she will do it. Yeah, her phone died. That's right. Thank you for reminding me. So that is it for us for now. Is there anything before we sign off? All right, I'm going to say it again. I love you. I am completely grateful for you because I don't know if I would be getting through this if it weren't for y'all on this call. All right, that's ego talking. I'm saying it, but it just is like, I don't know. That's how I'm expressing my gratitude, you know? Like, thank God for you. All right? So I look forward to next week. And thank you for your great insights. And, have a wonderful weekend.
My ego wants to have a discussion once we stop recording.
Okay, then we will be having us a discussion off the record. As a matter of fact,
I want to thank everyone for their support and encouragement and patience and love. Thank you so much. I feel a million times better.
You sound better, too. I just want somebody to acknowledge that we can actually hear Ananda's voice right now.
It's totally different.
Totally different, sister.
You're lifted. You're lifted.
Ananda, you sounded like you were about an inch tall when you first started this call, and I'm like, okay, I'm dealing with squeaky here. And now you are just like back in your remembering of who you are, you know?
Yes, thank you.
Right
on.
Thanks
so much, you guys. You did it. Healed.
We're miracle workers.
The miracle, exactly. It's done. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. All right, friend. So, Ananda, I'm going to go ahead and stop this recording. Let's see. And I need to pull up this and go start.